سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا، وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال نسوة في المدينة امرأة العزيز تراود فتاها عن نفسه قد شغفها حبا إنا لنراها في ضلال مبين. فلما سمعت بمكرهن أرسلت إليهن وأعتدت لهن متكأ وآتت كل واحدة منهن سكينا وقالت اخرج عليهن. فلما رأينه أكبرنه وقطعن أيديهن وقلن حاش لله ما هذا بشرا إن هذا إلا ملك كريم. قالت فذلكن الذي لمتنني فيه ولقد راودته عن نفسه فاستعصم ولئن لم يفعل ما آمره ليسجنن وليكونا من الصاغرين. قال رب السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إليه، وإلا تصرف عني كيدهن أصب إليهن وأكن من الجاهلين. فاستجاب له ربه فصرف عنه كيدهن إنه هو السميع العليم. ثم بدا لهم من بعد ما رأوا الآيات ليسجننه حتى حين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, I'm reciting verse from Surah Yusuf, verse number 30 to 35. Let's do the English translation. When Zulaikha alayhi salam made advances towards Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, as we discussed last week and the previous weeks, the incident became famous amongst the women folk of that time, and they started using insulting words that how can the wife of the king or the minister do such a thing. So when she heard what the women folk were talking about her, she thought of a plan. And when woman in the city said, the wife of the governor is seducing her youthful slave servant. The love for him has arrested her. Surely we see her in open air. So when she heard of their crafty comments, she extended an invitation to them and arranged for them a comfortable place to sit and dine, and gave everyone a knife and said to Yusuf, alayhi salam, come in the presence of this woman folk who have a knife in their hand. So when they saw him, they found him great and were so bewildered with his handsomeness and beauty that they cut their hands and fingers and said, O Allah, he is no human being, but he looks like an angel, such a handsome person. And they were admiring the handsome face of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. and in the rush they cut their fingers. She said, "This is he you blamed me for. Yes, I seduced him, but he abstained. And should he not follow my command, he shall be imprisoned and will be disgraced." She said, "My Allah, the prison is dearer to me than what this woman invite me to. And unless you do not turn the guile, the mischief, the deception away from me, I shall get inclined towards them and shall be among the ignorant. Maybe Yusuf alayhi salam, out of force, could end up doing something wrong." So Allah subhanahu accepted the dua of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam and protected him from the deception of this woman, turned the guile away from him. Surely Allah Ta'ala is all hearing and all knowing. Later on, even after having seen the signs, they deemed it proper to imprison him for a time. This is the English translation, and this is a small explanation. First of all, what was given to this woman to cut? The ulama say, some say it was some fruits, orange, etc. Some say it was vegetable, whatever it was. And when Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam entered the place, they looked at his handsome face and they were captivated and they cut their fingers mistakenly. There's an incident, Bibi Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, our spiritual mother, the honorable wife of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, used to say that when those women saw Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, they cut their fingers. If they happen to see our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi Sallam is the best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and more handsome than Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam also, they should have cut their throats. Instead of cutting their fingers, they should cut their throats to make nikah with Nabi Sallam. But that is just one aspect. Allah guide us to practice on the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The other thing is that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam made a dua that if they are forcing me to indulge in something that is not permissible, have adultery, zina, that I don't mind being to the prison then committing the guna. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatul Marif al-Quran and also the illuminating discourse of the Quran by Maulana Ashiq Ilahi, the English translation done by Hazrat Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi. They mentioned this, that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, if he should have made dua that Allah give me afiyat, give me comfort, and take me away from this trap of shaitan and trap of nafs and shaitan and committing zina and give me afiyat. But Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam said, I want to go to the prison. So the commentators mentioned that a lesson for us to take is that when we are in difficulty or when we are in problem, we make dua, ask Allah for complete afiyat. They say, if Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam used to say, don't take me to the prison, take me out of the palace and give me some comfortable safe haven to stay, Allah should have done that also. So we must also always ask for afiyat and for comfort. And even during the golden era of Rasulullah, the incident, a certain Sahabi fell very sick. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to visit him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, you're looking so weak and so sickly, did you make any dua? He said, I made a dua, Ya Allah, whatever my sins are, punish me in this world and don't punish me in the akhirat. So Nabi Sallam said, that's why you are so sick. You mustn't make dua that Allah punish me in this world and don't punish me in the akhirah. You must make dua for afiyat, that don't punish me in this world, don't punish me in the akhirat. Give me the best of this world, best of the akhirat, and the dua for afiyat. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-da'ima fi al-dini wal-dunya wal-akhirah wal-fawza bil-jannati wal-najata min al-nar. Allah give me comfort, and protect me from the difficulties and the trials of this world in any way, health, wealth, whatever, and protect us in the fire of Jahannam and grant us Jannah, and protect us punishment of the grave also, no punishment whatsoever. The other aspect is lustful glances. Normally, the women folk wear parda, but sometimes their eyes are visible. So parda is both ways. The male must not see the females, and the females must also not see the males. During the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a blind Sahabi came in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of our spiritual mothers, the Azwaj Mutahharat, the honorable wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were present. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Go away, make parda." They said, "But he is blind." Our beloved Rasulullah mentioned something, "But you are not blind, you can see. Some blind people are handsome also, the ladies can see." So this, the females must not look at handsome boys and handsome men, and the males also must not see it. Both ways, lustful glances. Allah Ta'ala must protect us. That sometimes people doing the effort of deen, they give advice to the women folk, to their daughters, to their sisters, to their family, etc. But sometimes they don't want to listen. Now what must we do? We can't just create divorce for every small little thing. But behind our mind, we know the laws of hijab need to be practiced. And lustful glances today with the social media, on the YouTube, on the thing, people are seeing handsome men, etc. And the women folk also, they get enticed. And without the word of exaggeration, I'm not taking anybody's name, these are general advices. One Maulana wrote on his own website that few women have contacted him, that asking him that, "Do you want a second wife or a third wife or a fourth wife?" And the Maulana replied on his website, "I'm happy with my this wife, I'm not looking for a second wife, a third wife and a fourth wife." But they've seen that Maulana on the YouTube, that's why they're requesting him. But anyway, we're giving general advices to make a second nikah is halal, third nikah is halal, fourth nikah is halal. But we're able to justice in finances, in spending time. You must have, today, cost of living is quite high. You must give a separate accommodation, pay for electricity, water, pay for everything. Then if you can't do justice, seek to one, Allah make it easy. But house, lustful glances from the females also go to the men. Allah protect everybody. I've got this 40 hadiths in front of me. It's a compilation of Mufti Abdul Hussain Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh. On page 267, Mawlana Ashiq Ilahi's 40 hadiths. Allah put it in Mahat, some nice hadiths. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء. A trustworthy and truthful trader will be in the company of the Anbiya عليهم السلام, the Siddiqeen, truthful, and the martyrs. Now, Allah sent us into this world. The world is Darul Asbab. For example, if you're thirsty, we drink water, a thirst will get quenched. If you feel hungry, eat some food. Now we need to earn some money to pay for our monthly expenses, especially if you are married, got two, three children, you have school fees, madrasa fees, electricity, water, all the monthly expenses will be on our shoulders. The different types of employment professionals people have. And also businessmen also are doing different types of business. One is a micro level, a tuck shop, a little bit bigger, supermarket, some are wholesale, whatever. The bigger the business, the test on our iman, test on our character, etc., comes more and more. Now here Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned about a trustworthy business. Before I give any explanation, these are general advices. Nobody told me to speak about it. I'm not relating to anybody that is sitting in this gathering or anybody from Spingo for anybody from a city of Durban or from South Africa or from anywhere in the world. I'm just giving general advices and not hinting at anybody. These advices are for me first. Now, Nabi Sassam gave virtue to an honest businessman. Allah will make him in jail, will give him the higher ranks in Jannah. Like how he gave that rank to the Anbiya and the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, and the martyrs, the truthful servant, and those that sacrifice their life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we get different types of businesses. Sometimes it's a grocery business. Certain things have a shelf life, the best before date. The one the best before date has shown, and you cannot sell after that. So we mustn't sell it. Don't deceive the customer. If somebody is still in a good condition and is sold at a reduced price, you tell the customer, this is the best before date, but you can still have it for 1 month after that and sold at a half price or whatever. And willing buy, willing will is understood. Similarly, those are selling material and fabric. They are tested with the measurement, the 1 meter measurement. I'm talking about a foreign country. Once we were in India, and somebody told me, you know what, when you buy material from the non-Muslim shops, carry one measuring tape in your pocket. After they cut it, you measure it yourself. And some madrasa students are quite sharp, you know, we show kurta. And it's a true incident. One madrasa student, he took one measuring tape and had it in his pocket. And he went to one non-Muslim shop. Muslim the honors, alhamdulillah. I want 3 meters of this and 5 meters of that. After he cut it, everything, both was half of meter short. So this is the measurement. Then he called him, bring your measurement. His measurement. Say, yeah, you caught me, I made a mistake. Just say, I made a mistake. Now, how many customers they must be doing like that, if half meter short, quarter meter short? But sometimes the material is of a reject quality, you got something. Sometimes the labels have a staple, and the staple, you take it out by force, it makes a hole in the material, or the jacket, or a jersey, or a shirt. So you tell the customer, I'm giving you a few rands off, a few dollars off. So that way, it's okay. And those are selling livestock. In the days of Eid al-Adha, today livestock being advertised on the social media. They can take a picture of a healthy animal, but better you see it firsthand, see what you are buying. Sometimes arguments happen. And it's a true incident a few years ago. It happened in Joburg, that the person bought the sheep. He says, it's not the right size what you sold me. And the argument got so heated up, they even took out a gun. And one, two of them shot one another just on the dispute of that sheep, the size of the sheep, and ended up in a gunfight. Allah protect us. So willing buyer, willing seller, I'm not referring to anybody, but it's for our own Jannat and Akhirat. And even business person, try to be honest with one another. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ يَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَا. Allah says in the Quran, some business partners, sometimes they oppress one another. But those that have iman and do good action, they are safe. Obviously, sometimes now it's a give and take situation. One business partner got no children, only one son or one child. The other business partner got 5 children. And somehow tried to, I'll give you extra, I was in the shop, something, some compromise, whatever, school fees, madrasa fees, all that you have to pay. But in the long run, it's very difficult to do justice. Then rather separate, don't do business in partnership, do alone, because the masail is so severe on partnership. Allah must make our reckoning easy on the day of Qiyamah. I'll read another hadith of Rasulullah SAW. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والمجاهد من جاهد نفسه في طاعة الله. A true mujahid is the one who exerts himself in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, those brave Muslims that are protecting the borders of the Muslim countries, protecting Masjid al-Aqsa, protecting the Masjid madrasas all over the world, and in the event they are giving their life, our brothers and sisters in Palestine, Gaza, in Syria, India, Pakistan, wherever, Afghanistan, anywhere in the world. They are giving their life in protecting the iman, the masjid, madrasa, the homes, belonging, our own folk, children. They will get very high ranks. But this one type of mujahada, which is faraz on every Muslim, that is baligh, that you read your 5-time faraz salah on its prescribed time, that anywhere in the world, any city, country, we have to read our faraz namaz on time. And the males coming to the masjid, each step we take, Allah give us a reward. And we recite Quran, going to the madrasa, masjid, they're all in the path of Allah, it's all sacrifice in the path of Allah. And we tempted to do something haram. The next hadith, qala Rasulullah sallam, wal muhajir man hajar al khataya wa zunub. A true muhajir is he who abandons all wrongs and sins, who stay away from guna and sins. And those Muslim countries that the soldiers are fighting in the war, they must read salah, abstain from haram, mustn't drink alcohol, mustn't listen to music. Some so-called Muslim countries, they have alcohol and music in the military. And some of the soldiers were caught in homosexual acts and gay, and these are kabira guna. How can Allah's help come on our Muslim soldiers when they commit kabira guna? May Allah give me and all of us the tawfiq of practicing. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.